Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. We're back. I'm back. Joel's not here. Of course Joel's not here. Joel is temporarily still out of action. He's AWOL. He's away without leave. So I have taken on full podcast responsibilities. I am editing, I am doing uploading, I am doing all the producer things. Hope it turns out okay. Let me know if I've done anything silly and you notice it. We've got a cracking episode this week. I've got a fantastic guest. It's Mr. Steve Gribbin. He's a very experienced comedian. Really enjoyed chatting to him. All things comedy and jokes, which you will get to listen to very, very shortly. But before that, I want to let you all know I'm going on tour. My Quip Off The Mark tour from September onwards. I'm coming to Barton-on-Humber, Leeds, Chorley, Bristol, Banbury, Chelmsford, Brighton, Oxford, Burnham-on-Sea, Bridport, Sale, Maidstone, Cambridge, Birmingham, Guildford, London, Derby, Leicester, Carlisle, Liverpool and Cardiff. So if that tickles your fancy and you live near any of those places, check out my my tickets at marksimmons.co.uk. But we should get cracking. I don't know how to do the sound. I don't know how to do that yet, but I've thought of an idea of how to do it, and I don't think you guys will notice, I hope. So let's get cracking. Here's Steve Gribbin. Down. So your notes. Let's go with your notes. What
okay.
You put down?
No, you sort of asking for jokes that I tried and didn't do. I think it's interesting, especially with topical stuff, that it goes in and out of the meaning changes along with people's perception of of events change the meaning. So I'll give you an example. I used to do a joke. I won't say I'll do my jokes are in bad taste, but if they make me laugh, then I'll do them.
Yeah.
But I had a joke about when the Emperor of Japan visited Britain. It's a few years ago now. It must be about 15 years ago. And all the veterans of World War II, as he was going down the mall, they all turned their backs on him.
Where was this?
It must have been in 2000 or something.
Right.
And as he came down the mall, they all started whistling. Bridge Over the River Kwai, the film?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a thing that they do, that thing is called Colonel Bogey, and they go, I can't remember. It's not... That's The Great Escape, isn't it? I think Colonel Bogey's...
Oh yes, yeah.
And it's
Hitler
a thing.
Only had one ball.
It's associated with the Second World War, and they all whistled at him as a sign of their disrespect.
Right.
And my joke was, well, if they really wanted to annoy the Japanese emperor, what they should have whistled was. But do you know what? I did it, and it's one of those things we're talking about, and it never went Rich Hall said, oh, that's a great gag. But whenever I did it, people sort of go, yeah, no.
Wow.
Because of the Hiroshima thing, you know? Yeah. But I'm not having a... Well, I am. I am. And I thought to myself, yeah, it's too glib, you know. And then I'll do other jokes, which, you know, are on the same sort of theme. And they'll go, well, and I thought... But also I felt uncomfortable with myself, so I just stopped doing it.
As a joke, it's very satisfying because it's... You're not spoon feeding, but the audience are having to do a bit of work. It's creative in the whistling, like it's a nice bit. But yeah, I mean, especially now, it wouldn't
go well. I mean, I mean,
young people maybe they wouldn't even know what you're even doing.
God, yeah, so I don't know. That's true.
Did you actually get people you could tell that they were disapproving or they just weren't laughing?
Both, I think, that they were, yeah, you're right. Some people might have just been sat there going, why is he whistling? It's like a Swanee River whistle. What's he doing that for?
So was that something that when you were watching it, that just sparked the idea at the time? Or were you thinking it in retrospect?
In retrospect, although I did watch it in live time as he was driving down the mall and I heard them whistling the tune, I thought, wow, I thought that was a very creative way of showing your disrespect. Yeah. I mean,
but also
not
that,
only turning
that
your
shows
back.
Organization, because they didn't have they probably didn't have online forums then. How did they all come together and go,
I don't know. Telepathy.
Yeah.
I tell you what's an interesting, I mean, you might have found this, but Edinburgh is a different beast, isn't it, as far as comedy goes. So sometimes, and we've all had those bits where we'll do a bit in the Edinburgh show and you think, oh, this is great, this is. I'm going to try this in a club. And then, of course, it never works.
No.
And because the dynamic is all... people in Edinburgh will allow you a bit more leisure, won't they?
I think so. And I think if they're interested in what you're talking about, they're invested, aren't they? Whereas if you're on a big night out, they don't want a history lesson, do they? They just want straight to the punchlines.
Well, I had this bit, and it was the Prime Minister of India said that he wanted, this is actually true, said that he wanted a Hindu bomb. And I thought, oh, God, what an appalling thing to say. But also at the same time, I thought, well, you know, what's a Hindu bomb? You know, kills all the people but leaves the cows intact. Right? That was the line. It used to get a laugh. But in Edinburgh, I had a whole bit.
Yes.
Like, well, how about having a Roman Catholic bomb? You know, which is, you know, doesn't kill any of the people, allows the population to keep exploding. You know, all this sort of thing. And I had there's a Judaism bomb, kills all the people except your mother. And they all used to go. But when it came to do it in the clubs, only that first one, they said, right, I've got the concept now.
Yeah.
Yep. Not interested in anything
else.
Yeah. And whereas in an Edinburgh show, the more I kept adding to it.
Did it keep gaining steam?
Yeah, I added, what was the other one I did?
It's an intelligent bit there, isn't it? So maybe it was just too much for the drunk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Islamic bomb kills everybody but leaves their beards intact. And I went, see also Russian Orthodox Church. I mean, and it was Jehovah's Witness bomb, because I've got two cousins who are Jehovah's Witnesses. It doesn't kill anyone except those who need a blood transfusion.
Right.
Which, because he, my cousin actually nearly let his son die because he wouldn't let him have a blood transfusion.
Really?
It's only the fact that his family persuaded him to change his mind. Yeah, they're crazy.
It's bloody hell, literally bloody hell.
Yeah, bloody hell. It's what a strange thing. So there's that, you know. Sometimes, you know, jokes. Yeah, as you say, change their meaning over time, and you can't.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sad. I used to.
Because
like,
when did you start comedy?
Oh God! Right. Okay. I started. This is how old I am. I started dabbling in comedy in 1982.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so my first ever gig was at the Tram Shed. I'm writing my autobiography, actually.
The Tram Shed, that's still running now, isn't it?
Yeah, it started again, but it's been closed
Andy
for
Steadman's
like...
Andy Steadman's just doing it there.
That's right,
it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I've started writing my autobiography. I've nearly finished the first draft. It's called Jimmy Tarbuck Ate My Sandwiches. Which I did a gig with him.
Was he did a podcast with me? No one's going to understand that, because we won't use that bit.
He did, he ate my sandwiches. And it's about the early days of comedy. So I've been doing it a long time. But then I was in a double act for 12 years,
which
is a different vibe completely. And so we're called Skint Video, and we got to be, you know, we were on lots of telly. We did Saturday Night Live.
Be Skint streaming now.
Yeah, We did an advert, which I regret, but there we go. So that I started doing it properly, I think, solo is 94. So I've been doing it a long time as a solo act as well.
So what else have you got down?
I'll tell you something. This is, I do quite a lot of songs in the act as well. I do my own songs, but I also do little tiny little parody things. They're like, it's like stings. They're almost like...
They're almost like one-liners.
Yeah, they are like music. One-liners, yeah. But I did a thing about when Jimmy Savile thing happened. This is a thing about process here. And it was, it's appalling what he did. And then I had a song about, the fact that he was meant to have molested lots of people in the mortuary. And it was, he's in the chiller. to the 3-2 okay. killer, right? But to Thriller, sorry. But when I came to, I was just mulling around this awful, awful guy that's been accused of doing exactly the same. The guy was an electrician that worked in hospitals, and he's like one of the biggest people involved in that sort of thing in British history. And I thought, I could revisit that. And then I thought, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
The context has changed. And also it did make me think long and hard, about maybe I was being too glib before, but also the fact that it's Jimmy Savile and that changed the context of it. I don't know. So I didn't. I just left it alone and thought, no, I'm not going to do that because it's too hurtful. But then, it does give you pause for thought.
Do you think it would have made a difference to the reaction being that if it one was Jamie Savile and the other was the other guy? Do you think?
Yeah, I think people in the audience would have given you a lot of leeway because it's Jamie Savile. And by that point, it started off with him sexually molesting young kids, then it grew to dead bodies. It's really weird, by the way, because when I was at school, people used to make jokes about Jimmy Savile molesting dead bodies.
What?
Yeah, in the late 70s, people kind of, it was in the air. People would make jokes about it. I don't know what, how. There's a famous one of John Lydon on a television show in 1981 saying that Jimmy Savile is a wrong'un.
Right.
And it's still on YouTube.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's an example of looking at something and going, I can't bring myself to do it anymore.
Yeah. Because you've got a lot of topical stuff, do you find that sometimes, things come round again that you'd be like, I could just apply that old idea to this new story?
Yes. Yeah, I know. I try not to, but then sometimes it's so tempting if you've got something.
But then if you've had a topical joke that you've only had 6 months out of before, then why not try and get another?
No, I know, but then you have to change the context. Otherwise, you're going to end up like, what's it? I love Sean to death, Sean Percival.
But this joke comes up a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, but it's just, I love it. I love the fact it's like, cinema release, repeat on the telly, DVD, Blu-ray, director's cut. I don't know what it is now.
MP3.
Is that even, MP3, is that the thing? Yeah. I don't know. TikTok.
TikTok video. Now. You probably could make it TikTok. They put longer clips out there now.
But that's a joke for comedians, really, because we all we know.
He's doing it on purpose now, I think.
I love Sean to bits as well. I think he's very funny. So I'm just aware of, I'd like to try and get new stuff, if I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's very, but with something like the environment, that's an interesting thing, trying to get jokes that you haven't done before. Mm. Ironically recycling. but it's because it's such a huge subject. But then once you've said, the earth's going to heat up, whereas so many angles you can come in at, but there's not that many. Really?
Still, essentially, it's the same story.
Same story, yeah. That hasn't changed for 30 years.
It was the ozone layer, wasn't it, originally?
The ozone layer. Then there's lots of jokes about hairspray.
Cartoon called The Captain Planet when I was a kid, which was in the 90s. And that was all about, him saving the planet and the ozone layer, and there's a hole in the ozone. No one ever says about there's a hole in the ozone layer anymore, do they? What happened then?
I think it's still there.
But what's going on? Is that just a made up idea that they knew something? They went, we just say there's a hole in the ozone.
Yeah.
But you don't hear anyone say it now. Is that because science has got better and it's a better way of explaining it now?
Sort of, we're not talking about it, I suppose. That's interesting because I found that whole, there's a whole...
in the ozone layer.
There's a hole, yeah. There's a hole in the, there's a hole in the ozone layer.
There goes a new song, mate.
But with, you know, the COP26 thing.
Oh, yeah.
They were talking about, you know...
Oh,
the,
you told me you've got...
I've got some stuff on it, yeah. Mm. I want to talk about Greta Thunberg because I think she's great. And I just, it annoys me when people go, and I think that's a horrible thing because people do obliquely attack her because she's got Asperger's, you know.
Right.
And my nephew's got Asperger's, and it's, I don't like that. You know, sometimes people say quite glibly, oh, yeah, you know, I'm a bit autistic, me. And I hate, right. I hate that sort of thing, you know, it's, they don't understand what they're talking about. But with Greta, I think, yeah, I love that thing about the swearing. You know, she said, I'm not, people got really upset about the swearing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the people on GB News or whatever were going, well, you see what kind of person she is. She said the F word. You know, they would be, imagine that if an asteroid destroyed the Earth and as we were all burned to death, she almost shouted, fuck it. And someone from GB News would just go, language.
Yeah.
You know, that, it annoys me. It annoys me. Anyway, sorry.
That's funny, isn't it? That's another funny angle because you could think of other examples of big, bad things. That, like someone's saying about the Holocaust, but they swore, so we're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah, that's exactly how I try and whenever I'm thinking of it, it's interesting. And Sarah Millican told me this as well, but I was doing it anyway. But we were comparing notes once about how we went about writing mistakes. And if I get something like the environment and say the environment and Greta Thunberg, then I've got a piece of paper. And down the side of it, like that, I put the environment on one side and then I'll put teenage things on the other.
Put a great. Line. Yeah.
And then I write all the things I can think about to the environment and all the things I can think about teenage behaviour. And then I'll cross.
Yeah.
And it, sometimes it jumps out at you. Mm. And then sometimes, and that's exactly what she said she did. And it takes ages in a way, but it's quite. And then sometimes you'll have just a scribble in the margin and think, oh, that'll wait for another day. I know. It's annoying sometimes because obviously I just seen a... And I was doing this joke 2 weeks ago, but, you know, I said that Yorkshire County Cricket have added a lovely pointy hood to their cricket whites, but then everybody did the same joke. You know, you've got to be careful. That's kind of an obvious... And there's a cartoon in Private Eye this week. And I was thinking, I can't do that, really, because this is a true story. I once did... I used to write for Weekending on Radio 4. And this is way back in the 90s, early noughties. And I just thought, wouldn't it be funny one day? They were doing, you know, unlikely things that celebrities would do. So my idea was the Reverend Ian Paisley, who was then alive, filling out one of those smash hits type questionnaires, you know. Mm. And it was favourite Japanese conceptual artist, Yoko Ono. Everything ended in no, you know, favourite car, Renault. favorite seasoning, oregano. Right, and I did it in Cork. In that gig. I don't know whether you ever did it. City Lights in Cork.
No, didn't.
It was a great gig. And then this guy comes up to me and goes, at the end of the gig, goes, you don't think we got Radio 4 in the Republic of Ireland, do you? I went, well, I think you do, don't you? He goes, I know what you're up to.
What?
I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I listened to Weekending last night. That's not your material. Because I did it on stage because I thought, that's an example of, I thought, well, I'll do this. This is quite good. And it went down really well because it was Ireland.
So you'd written it.
I'd written it. And then he chased me around the club.
That's hilarious.
He chased me around the club going, you thieving bastard. Don't think we don't know what you're up to. Like, I wrote it. He goes, no, you didn't. And I couldn't convince it. Well, you know.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
That's funny, I get that sometimes. Like, I've had so many jokes nicked, and I'll put something up on TikTok, and someone will go, "This joke's nicked, I've seen a meme with it." And I'm like, yeah, I wrote it 5 years ago.
Wow.
And that's been, and that happens.
That must be galling for you, though.
Oh, it's so annoying. Because the thing is, those sort of best jokes of the fringe things in Edinburgh are great because they give you a bit of publicity up there.
Yeah.
But once it's printed, people will just copy and paste it and stick it as their own. And then one of mine is just crazy amount of times it's been shared. And when I do it, because I still do it, I think it's my joke, I'll do it. But I see some people in the audience, you can tell sometimes where they know they've heard it. And they always assume, unless you're like a proper famous comic, they always assume you've nicked it. Even though you've been working in the industry for 10 years.
That is awful, the people's perception. There's one joke of mine, which I did last night, which a very, very famous comedian has stolen and used on their video.
Yeah.
About Boris Johnson being a posh thug. Right, you al fresco now. Mm. I can't say who it is. And I've been... but I'm still doing it because I don't care. And it's my joke. And I've had people coming up to me and going, "That's not your joke."
Yeah.
But then you just look bad, don't you? And you go, "Well, actually,
what can you do?" And then there's the other thing that, like, I put up a thing when I was trying some jokes out, and whenever I try jokes out, I've got a clipboard or something, and I just sort of tick and cross as I go, and I put a clip up from that with a new bit, and someone put, "You stole Jim Owen's Fitbit." I was like, "Jim Owen doesn't do anything like what I do. He doesn't do one-liners." And then they then went, you know, with the notepad and the ticking and the crossing, I was like, no, that's not Jim Owen's bit. That's what everyone does when they try stuff. But they've obviously just seen a YouTube clip where Jim Owen's done it, and they've gone, "God, that's a good bit, isn't it?" Doing the notepad.
That's very interesting. Now, Jimmy Carr, I mean, is the first person I ever saw doing that.
Yeah, he did that in his act. His regular act.
And but I thought it was a brilliant device because what he used to do, I thought it was very clever, was... He would do new jokes, but he'd often do jokes that were tried and tested because as soon as you see that clipboard and him hovering with the pen, the audience sort of go, "Oh, give this a bit more leeway."
Yeah.
Consequently, you just go, boom.
But I'll do that on with new material. If I do three in a row and they haven't hit, I'm like, okay, I need to do a good one now just to get them back. So they'll think that it's a new one, but it's not.
Ah, that's a good idea.
But yeah, it's just, you know.
This is interesting talking about, because I think this is, you know, I was talking about the old, the comedy that was prevalent when I started in mainstream, but also the sacrosanct thing was you wrote your own material. That was the thing that we didn't, you know, there's no negotiation about that. And I was on in Liverpool, actually, at the Royal Court last Saturday, and there was a comedian on with me. Who was slightly older than me, but from a different circuit. And he kept saying to me in the dressing room, he goes, "You can have that one." Yeah. And I said, "I don't want."
Yeah.
I actually said to him, "I don't do other people's jokes." And do you know what he said? He went, "Well, I think you're fucking mad." it's just bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, it's completely different.
And there was a famous one, Scottish television, and I can't remember who did it. Parrot. O'Hara, you probably don't remember him, but he was like the one of the exec producers on it. And there was a comedian just on the floor doing a test, just telling loads of jokes. And he came down from the gantry and said, "They're not your jokes." And apparently this comedian said, "Their jokes are just like floating in the air and you just pluck them out of the air." Parrot said, "No, they're not. You have to sit down and actually write them and think of them yourself." And it was like talking to a piece of shelving. He absolutely was not within his worldview. He thought that everybody shared jokes.
Yeah.
Weird, isn't it?
It's so weird. But for me, there's no satisfaction with that, because if that's the case, anyone could be a comedian, more or less, as long as you've got a knack of saying them.
Yeah.
So what? Where's the satisfaction if you're not doing it? I don't understand it.
They don't even, you know, the old school, I'm talking, God, you know, they don't even, it doesn't even cross their consciousness that they should sit down and write their own jokes.
Mm.
And in the odd occasion that they do, and then they do it, all the other comedians was like, you know, sharks around, you know, someone, blood in the water, they just go, and they have that joke. That becomes a joke that everyone has.
Well, I'm friends with a comedian, he lives near me, called El Baldinio. Do you know El Baldinio?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Yeah, so he lives in Canterbury and we meet up. And when he started, he was of the, like, more of the, he did a few bits that were sort of magician bits. Mm. And then I used to talk to him about it and say, well, if you want to sort of do the clubs and the circuit, you're going to have to write, like, you know, it's going to have to be all your own stuff. And he just really worked hard and,
built like his really
own,
funny.
All his own stuff. And he's such a good writer now. He's really good. But now he then worries when he's on a bill with magicians that they wouldn't even they just think, yeah, oh, well, that's a good one. Well, he must have got that from somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Because it's a different, completely different circuit.
Completely different mindset.
But he worked so hard to come out of that and into what we do.
Les Dennis once told me that he was doing pantomime. This is many years ago, maybe 30 years ago. Again, it's all those sorts of comedians. And he turned up and he said, so it wasn't panto. He was in panto, but they were doing like a gala evening of everyone in it. And he said to the comedian before him, have you done the joke about the nuns? And he went, no. He goes, okay, I'll have that. That's how they used to speak.
That's mad,
they had a set amount of jokes. But I mean, prodigious feat of memory, I suppose, on their part.
Mm.
But there was maybe a set of 600 jokes and they all drank from the same pool. I love that. There's a very famous... Do you know Owen O'Neill, the red-haired guy?
No.
That's the Northern Irish comic who's behind... did all those plays with the Comedians Theatre, you know, like 12 Angry Men and Shawshank Redemption. And, do you know, they all went to the West End. They did it in Edinburgh.
Right. I don't know.
But he's like the guy that readapted them for the stage and everything. Mm. He's brilliant. But there's a great bit in the old Comedy Store where we're all sitting in the dressing room and someone came up to me and said... He said, what are you doing about Salman Rushdie? He goes, what can I do? I'm only one person. I can't affect government policy. But they meant, you know, what have you got?
That's hilarious.
I know, it's brilliant. But that just shows you how comedians think, you know. It's funny. That actually happens. Oh, God.
That's great. Have you got any other bits down on your bit of paper?
I don't know. Have I run out of...
Because my mic has been working for the last 35 minutes properly, so, and that's been some great stuff. So,
well, there's only one other thing, which is it's a throwaway bit, and it's sometimes when you'll do a bit that you don't know, you don't mean it to be taken in a certain way, and then some people get really annoyed. And I used to do this whole thing, because where I was brought up in Liverpool, it's on the seashore, so... Mm. It's called Waterloo, but it goes into Crosby, which is just, it's called Crosby Beach. And they've got all the Iron Men there. So I used to have a joke about the Iron Men. And it's Anthony Gormley sculpture, another place. And they're all facing out to sea in the same direction. But I used to have a joke that said, it doesn't mean much to us, but it's absolutely freaking out the Welsh because you can see our shoreline. And I used to have a thing, and they're stood over there now in their cagoules going, to, you know, Bronwyn. Staring at me, and two can play at that game, and it's a physical thing, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But then somebody came up to me after a gig and was going, that's racist against the Welsh. And I've said, well, it's not really. But then it kind of put the seed in my mind, and I stopped doing it. I don't do it anymore. Even though I don't really agree. Well, I'm just saying that the Welsh are a bit weird, I suppose. It's not even that, is it? It's just,
I don't think it
just
is.
A silly idea of them just getting wound up.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would get wound up at the fact that a statue's looking at you? You know? But he chased me around the venue, threatening to kill me. So
really?
Yeah, he was very angry. Yeah, yeah. It was somewhere.
What was it?
Where
you said yesterday you said you got barricaded into a thing.
Oh, that was in there. That was Glasgow.
I mean, how many times has this
time.
Happened?
Oh, loads. Well, if you're doing topical political stuff, sometimes you touch your nerve.
Yes, you know? And you rub people out the wrong way with
and,
it. Yeah.
What it was in Glasgow, it was many moons ago, but it was the Gulf War was raging and I was doing loads of stuff. And at no point did I have a go at because I often feel sorry for the people that are serving in the army. My nephew's in the army, and my view is that they're being sent over to, basically take part in wars which are declared by other people who never have to fight them. But but that wasn't the point. There was an American in the audience, and he said, you sir have no respect for the dead. Which is quite a devastating heckle, isn't it? And this is a really weird one. And sometimes you think of on the spur of the moment, and I said, you have no respect for the living, which is not funny in itself, but it was actually, but he went mad.
Really?
He was trying to get at me. And then, but what happened was, there was a woman in the audience said, my son's over there at the moment. How dare you? And then people started shouting, and then it grew, and a certain amount of people were very angry. Turned out, by the way, that she was drunk out of her head. Her son was in the army, but had left, didn't serve in the Gulf, and had left the army. But what happened was, it got to such a pitch that it was like half and half, half with me, half against me. And then some woman tried to, she, as I was leaving the stage, she came straight towards me. It was like one of those things like, and her fist was about that much away from my face. And the bouncer stopped her fist.
I bet you wish it hit you. You'd be as famous as Jim Jefferies now.
I would be, yeah. I did shit myself. And I had to stay in the dressing room because people were going mad. And then Michael Legg went on stage. He's a very, very good friend of mine, Mike. And he made a speech, and in which he quoted, Voltaire and all the rest of it. It was quite, I've spoken to him about it. I thought, what shit can I say to save you? And it's all about free speech and blah blah blah. And then he got all the Glaswegians were cheering. But then when we came out afterwards, this is all in the book. It transpired that the people that were really angry and shouting wanted to kill me were in a minority. And loads of people came up to me and buying me and Michael drinks. This was in the days when I used to drink whiskey. Mm. Ended up getting absolutely plastered. Three squaddies came up who were serving in Iraq, said, brilliant, we really enjoyed it. Here, have some whiskey. The next thing it's like, it's an amazing night.
But
there was what got me, as I was trapped in the dressing room, and there was a bouncer there, and I said, is there any other way out? Can I get around the back? He went, no. But you know what bounce is like? You'll have to go out the front. And he was just had this big smile on his face. He thought, this will be fun to watch. What was weird?
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
As well, the American came up to me afterwards, right, and wanted to have a bit of afters.
Mm.
And the squaddies just told him to fuck off, which was really good to watch. Yeah, yeah. And that gave me a bit of satisfaction. I don't mind a bit of...
I haven't seen many things where it's gone a bit sort of tense. I've seen one where one comic had a set to with a woman in the crowd, which would have been fine. And she left, but what we didn't realise, she was with a massive group. So literally half the audience left.
Ooh.
And it was this really weird...
What happened after was just a really weird atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. I've seen that, people...
I mean, the people that were left were, like, on side.
Yeah.
Because that woman had been an idiot.
I know.
But it was still only half a git room, and it's like... a big room.
Wow. This is a true story. It actually happened to me. It was a Glastonbury Festival in the 90s sometime, and I was on stage, and my partner in Skint Video, he said the line. There was a guy tripping off his face, but he was dressed from head to foot as a proper Jesus, you know, with the long flowing robes. He looked like a statue, and he had the hair and everything. And Brian, my partner, said, "Where the fuck have you been? You're 2,000 years too late," or something like that. And he got on stage and punched Brian in the face.
What?
So he sort of like felt, but yeah, Jesus. And then he proceeded to strangle me. And I started to black out. This is in the book as well. And I thought, well, this is a good way to go, strangled to death by Jesus. The irony of a previously devout Catholic. In the end, because there were no bouncers at Glastonbury, are there? There are no. In the end, the sound technician and his two mates had to jump on Jesus and beat him up. It's just one of those. It was bizarre. And that's then he hilarious. Just, after he'd been punched, he just got up and sort of like ruffled his robes. Meanwhile, I was like, and then climbed down from the stage and just walked off, and everyone cheered. It was one of the most bizarre things that's ever happened to me.
Sounds like he was cross.
Hey.
Down, 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 down. Down now, Steve Gribbin! Hashtag awooga to Steve Gribbin. Great stuff. Lovely, lovely stuff. Any feedback, let us know at Jokes with Mark across all social media. If you enjoy the episode, please head over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Give us a 5-star rating. That is lovely. If you want more content, if you want to listen to the rest of the interview, head over to patreon.com/jokeswithmark. You can sign up to Patreon for as little as £3 a month. What's that? Price of a coffee. Get over there. Check that out. Anything more from you, Joel? Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag awooga, everybody.